You're listening to EFT Tapping Hub Radio online, where we answer your tapping questions and share many tapping insights with you. By listening to this audio, you agree to the disclaimer at efthub.com/disclaimer. Subscribe to our newsletter or download our audio from our store at efthub.com.
Hello there, this is Gary and welcome along to the EFT Hub. Now, if you're not familiar with the tapping process and you'd like to learn how to do it, we have a free video and a tapping chart on our website at efthub.com. So please go along there first before listening to this audio if you're not familiar with the process. And if you have done that, welcome back. And in this particular audio, we're going to be sharing with the founder of the Emotional Freedom Techniques, or EFT, or tapping. And he'll be explaining how the tapping process works, and that's Gary Craig. We also speak with Judy Byrne, and we start our process today with Brad Yates, who's going to be talking about the history of the tapping process, and there are some important insights in this particular audio. Here's more now from Brad.
There was a psychologist named Roger Callahan who was very interested in working with phobias, and he had a particular client named Mary. And Mary had this lifelong fear of water, and my understanding is she was about 40 years old at the time, had seen a number of therapists, had nightmares, different physical issues around water. She could only bathe in about an inch of water. It was just very troublesome for her. And when she was working with Dr. Callahan, after about a year and a half of working with him, the best that they could do was have her sitting near a swimming pool, but she had to be facing away from it. And she was kind of okay with that, but it was still kind of difficult. So Dr. Callahan was expanding his knowledge in different ways and was taking a course in acupressure. You know, acupressure and acupuncture based on thousands of years of Chinese medicine, the idea that there's this energy flowing through our body along pathways called meridians, and when this energy is out of whack, illness is experienced. So in Chinese medicine, you keep the energy balanced, and therefore the people stay well, their well-being is maintained. So knowing that there are different points that associated with different physical parts of the body, different physical issues, he asked her what was a physical issue that was coming up at one time when she was having trouble about water. And she said she was experiencing a knot in her stomach. And Dr. Callahan said, okay, well, there's a meridian point under the eye that has to do with the stomach. Let's see if we can do something about that. And he tapped her under the eye for a moment. And she looked at him and said, it's gone. He said, what's gone? She goes, the fear, and starts running towards the swimming pool. And he starts running after, saying, wait, stop. And she goes, no, it's okay. No, I don't know how to swim. But she got down in front of the pool and started splashing water in her face and had no negative reaction whatsoever. And naturally, Dr. Callahan thought, well, that's very interesting. And so he starts trying this with different clients, and finds that with different issues, he needs to tap different points, and came up with different algorithms, tapping this point, then this point for one issue, or this point, and then another point for a different issue. And within a year, he put himself out of business, because all of his clients who had been coming to him on a weekly basis with these issues felt cured. They were no longer having these uncomfortable reactions, and came up with a discovery statement that all negative emotions are caused by this disruption in the energy system. So by tapping on these points, we balance the energy, clear out that disruption. And so not only do we see this this enhancement of the physical well-being, but this clearing of the uncomfortable emotions. So Dr. Callahan started teaching this technique, and one of his first students was Gary Craig, who had trained as an engineer at Stanford. And taking that training, Gary looked at the different tapping algorithms that Dr. Callahan had and thought, well, that's kind of complicated because you have to go through all of this diagnosis to figure out which points to use. And there were only about 8 points that they were using anyway. And he thought, well, what if you just tap them from top to bottom in order? It only takes a few moments. And he said it was like having a television set. If your TV wasn't working, and you took it into the shop, and if it wasn't going to take any more time or money to just have them replace everything rather than trying to go through and figure out which tube or which dial or which knob was having a problem, then why wouldn't you just have it all overhauled? So that was how he came up with this technique of just tapping all of the points in order. And he found that he was getting the same remarkable results clearing things out. So he called this new version of the tapping, which had been called thought field therapy or the Callahan technique, he called this streamlined version of tapping just through the points emotional freedom technique or EFT.
Was there any important aspects to learn from, you know, when he observed Mary kind of running towards the pole and everything?
Yeah, well, that it doesn't have an idiot factor. She didn't think, I'm not afraid of water, I'm now going to jump in. Having been afraid of water all her life, she had never learned to swim. So she didn't jump in, just like if you work with someone to clear a fear of heights, they're not going to go jumping off buildings thinking that they can fly. We clear the excessive emotion. We clear the emotion that's not serving us. We can remove fear without removing natural caution. So that's a key point. And you know, just the, and as well as the idea that it is this balance of balancing the energy, this energy flow that does get disrupted by different things. And when we balance that, we can clear that out and affect both the body and the mind in a positive way.
And I suppose you could class that as a one-minute wonder. I mean, is that true in every case?
No, and that's always the danger in telling the discovery of this, because it is a one-minute wonder. And we certainly have those. We certainly have times where we'll work with people and an issue that has troubled them all their life and, you know, maybe for ages, it seems like, is gone within a matter of moments. Most of the time, it doesn't happen quite that quickly or easily. It's usually more of a process, and we're, to use Gary Craig's analysis of a, or analogy of a forest, more often we're cutting down tree by tree, or maybe taking out, you know, certain areas, but not taking it all out at once. But we see both.
My thanks there to Brad Yates. And now Judy Byrne has more about the history of EFT.
We do know that there was a form of acupuncture being practiced in Tibet in 6000 BC.
Right.
The other really early evidence we have is in 1991, a body was found in the Alps between Germany and Italy, and it was deep frozen. It was decomposed. It was actually deep frozen, and it had a group of tattoos on it, and they were the spots that would correspond today with acupuncture for arthritis and a stomach condition, and the body had arthritis and a stomach condition.
Right.
And because it wasn't found until 1991, it was possible to date it accurately to about 3200 BC.
Right, I think I heard about that. Is that the famous Neolithic man, is it?
His name's Utzi, and he's actually in a museum in Germany.
Yeah.
Also, of course, there's evidence that something similar has been done by the Inuit, by the Bantu in Africa, and then there's the whole Japanese tradition of acupressure. So, and it's very unlikely that it would have been cultural transmission between those different cultures.
Right.
So it seems as if very intuitive people within different cultures have come up with a very similar understanding of how the body works.
Right.
And then, of course, this came to us more recently through acupuncture, through acupressure. But then there were a number of different people, starting really with George Goodhart, a chiropractor, who started in the last century experimenting with muscle testing for the strengths of meridians, and he founded kinesiology.
Right.
And then an Australian psychiatrist called John Diamond became interested, worked a bit with Goodhart, and he developed behavioral kinesiology, which was looking more at emotional things, and more on the physical side.
Yeah.
And it was really through association with that same group of people that Roger Callahan came to invent or to evolve TFT, thought field therapy. And of course, that is the direct line of descent to EFT. Gary Craig went on the TFT training and found it very effective, but thought, hang on, why do we go to so much trouble diagnosing what meridians are involved if we can, in a couple of minutes, do a sequence that covers them all?
Right, because it's quite a complicated process, isn't it, thought field therapy, and they use muscle testing, or I presume they still do.
Well, they do. I think I haven't actually studied it in detail, but I think in the earlier stages, people learn that certain points correspond with certain emotions, and then at a more advanced level, they muscle test for what with each individual rather than working with predetermined protocols.
Right. And I know Gary Craig was a trained engineer, wasn't he? So he kind of put his mind around that, didn't he, and said, well, let's simplify this somehow.
Yes. I don't think he ever worked as an engineer, but his degree was in engineering, but he did a degree at Stanford. And he did have an engineer's way of thinking and thinking, well, why are we making this as complicated as this? So these are the points that we need to do. Let's do the lot for everything.
So that is the difference between TFT and EFT then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So much simpler. And why do we tap, say, you know, from the top all the way down the body? Is there any reason for that?
No, Gary says you can tap in any order you like, but I think going from top down is a good way of learning it because it seems like a logical sequence. It seems easy for people to learn it that way.
Right. Because we often get that question, don't we? You know, and are we tapping on the right point? That kind of thing, yeah?
Yeah, we know that we have some redundancy. We know that we only need a few points for each thing that we're dealing with. So it means that you can forget a point, miss a point, do them out of order. You're probably still going to get where you want to go anyway.
I know later on as we're going to be talking about, you know, your point as well, a point that, you know, is for you. You kind of get a feeling, don't you, that this is the point to use.
Yes, not everybody does, but some people do and get it quite strongly. And I've never been sure whether it's just specific to the person or to the person in relation to a particular problem.
Oh, right, yeah. So, I mean,
or a particular emotion.
Yeah, then there's some things we just don't know, isn't there, really?
There's an awful lot we don't know, yes. Yeah.
So are there any other things that, you know, have helped EFT become what it is today?
The thing I really like about EFT is that because, well, the two things, actually. One, that people can very easily learn to use it for themselves. So I think that's very empowering that people can do their own work. And the other one is that I think because it doesn't involve being quite so attached to a specific protocol, it to me, it lends itself more to following the client rather than following the technique. So I think it's possible to be much more client-centered. In my view of the world, I feel that I'm much more client-centered working with EFT than I would with working with TFT.
That's a really important point, isn't it, as well? You know, because we all have a way of learning things, don't we? And say, if we're driving a car, we want to be able to forget about the driving, if you like.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
So I think they call that unconscious competence or something like that? I can never remember.
So, yes.
But there is a sequence of learning, isn't it? So we can't expect to be a master straight away, can we? It just doesn't happen.
No, but learning the basic round of tapping doesn't take any time at all.
Yeah. And that's an important point to make as well, isn't it? Because a 12-year-old child could do it, couldn't they? They could actually work with somebody and get a result.
Children younger than that do, and once they've learned to do it, they teach one another in the playground. And it, you know, it spreads.
Right, yeah. But equally, there is an art, though, as well, yeah?
With some people, it's not just that something happened at a particular time. It's the way that's affected the whole of their lives from that point onwards.
Right.
So there can be quite a lot of undoing needs to be done.
Yeah.
And redoing.
Yeah. And we'll be covering, you know, the art of EFT, obviously, in future videos. And are there any final thoughts, Judy, about, you know, how we've evolved with EFT?
When Gary Craig retired, and in a bit under 20 years, he'd built up a subscription of 500,000 readers for his newsletter. So amazing achievement.
Mm.
But when he retired, he said, he used to say that we're only on the first floor of the healing high-rise. In his blog announcing his retirement, he said we're only on the doorstep of the healing high-rise.
Right.
So he thinks that we still have a long way to go. And we may look back and say this was only the very early beginnings. Who knows?
I know he talked about also when he was retiring, and he said that, in a sense, he wanted to explore other things about, you know, energy and EFT, more the kind
I think it's very unlikely that he's retired.
Yeah, it's just not somebody that would do that. But so it'll be interesting to see what areas he goes into now. And we touch on those areas, don't we, as well, with, you know, talking about surrogate tapping and various other things. So it'll be really interesting, I think, to get into all of those things later on.
Yes.
Yeah. And anyway, thanks very much, Judy, for sharing the information about how we've evolved with EFT.
Not at all.
Yeah. And any final things to say?
I think EFT is great.
Okay.
Wherever it goes, it's already great.
Yeah. And funnily enough, I actually agree with you.
My thanks there to Judy Byrne. a master of EFT there. And now we're going to hear from the founder of the Emotional Freedom Techniques, the man that actually invented the process. Here's Gary Craig talking about how he believes EFT really works.
EFT is a blend of two very well-known, very well-researched therapeutic ideas. One of those is acupuncture, which has been around for thousands of years, and in more recent times has been studied a lot scientifically and validated in a number of ways. You just need to go to Google and put in acupuncture and that kind of thing, acupuncture studies and that kind of thing, you'll find lots of studies there. The other is the whole idea of mind-body medicine. And, you know, that's more commonly known as things like yoga and meditation. And the general idea is the more peaceful one can become mentally, you know, the better their health is. And that's been known for a long time. That includes prayer. And a lot of other ideas have come up in the meantime. They're all very well researched. There's been decades of research on them that's validated them. And what EFT does is sort of builds a bridge between the two. It blends the two together. And so we have found that as we address people's emotional issues using the acupuncture meridians, we are borrowing from each of those ideas, and we are getting better results. At least that's my observation over, 16 years now. We are getting better results than either one of them put together, or either one of them singly. And so anyway, that's the essence of it. It's sort of a blend between acupuncture, mind-body medicine, in a way that has created some extraordinary results for lots of people, as you well know.
Right. So we're tapping the points the same as in acupuncture.
Yes, we stimulate the same kind of meridians that you would in acupuncture, except we don't use needles. We just stimulate them by tapping them with our fingertips.
And there's been research, hasn't there, into acupuncture itself to see that.
Yeah, acupuncture itself is very well researched, and the mind body medicine is very well researched. And all we're doing is borrowing from each and blending them in a way that is really quite extraordinary.
So if you pull EFT apart, how do you think that it really works?
Well, I wish I knew every little nuance of everything. What I think we're doing, and the theory that's behind EFT, is that when one has an emotional issue, it is because the free flow of the qi or the... That's what the acupuncturists call it, the Chinese call it. But this energy that circulates throughout the system, that has become disrupted, much like a short circuit in a television or a radio. And by tapping at our fingertips, by stimulating these various meridian points, we send energy down these meridians. The disruption, the short circuit, if you will, vanishes. And with it vanishes the emotional issue. And as a result of taking care of emotional issues so rapidly, so often, we find that physical things start to subside as well. You know, disease symptoms start to go away, headaches go away, back pain goes away, and so on.
Right. And do you need to believe in EFT for it to work?
No, it might be helpful, but I really don't think you need to do that because I've had, especially in the early years, just about everybody I ever applied it to was openly skeptical. In fact, some of them were just simply flat out hostile. They were trying to prove it didn't work and how stupid it was and everything else because we were violating their beliefs big time. Nonetheless, even with that open hostility, their headaches were going away and they were no longer afraid of traffic and stuff that used to bother them, you know. So even in the face of open hostility, we're able to get these results. It's belief becomes helpful because if people believe in it, they're more cooperative with you. If they're hostile about it, you know, they're not going to give you much time. But I don't think you have to actually believe it for it to work.
It is a strange process, isn't it, if you actually look at it being done?
Well, it's strange to those who've never seen it before and who aren't conditioned along these lines. It would be very strange to someone whose only input into healing would be the medical route, for example, because the medical route doesn't do any of this. And so if that's where one is conditioned, then, of course, this is going to look not only strange but stupid. For someone who comes from the Chinese discipline for healing, this is easy to understand. For somebody who has been conditioned, has been studying recently the findings in quantum physics, this would be easy to understand. And it wouldn't look silly and wouldn't look stupid. It looks silly for those who are conditioned along other lines.
Because we've based ourselves on the Greek model, really, haven't we? In that we look at the outside of the body rather than the inside, whereas the Oriental people tend to look at inside first rather than outside.
I've never heard it in quite that way. So I don't know much about the Greeks, but the inside, yeah. We are going from the inside out here.
Yeah, yeah. So what can be achieved with EFT, maybe that other therapies can't achieve?
Well, in my experience, you can apply EFT to every known emotional issue that you can name, every known physical issue that you can name, every known performance issue that you can name. I don't think there are any limits in there. You can apply it to everything. Does that mean we get 100% results for everything, for everyone? No. Sometimes we'll seem to hit a wall, and the question then somewhat kind of arises from newcomers to this. They would say, well, okay, EFT doesn't work for that issue, or EFT doesn't work for this person. But in my experience, I don't think that's accurate. I think when we stub our toe, we're not getting any place. I think it's because we haven't found the real issue yet. There's an art to doing EFT, to finding you know, what's really going on. And sometimes these emotional issues are hidden even from the client. It takes a little detective work to bring them up. Because I've oftentimes ran into walls, so to speak, and I just kept being persistent and kept backing up and going through different doors. And all of a sudden, here we go through a door we've nobody gone through before. Now we take care of some issues, and now we get healing where we had seemed to be completely stopped. And so the moral of that story is it's generally speaking, it's not that EFT doesn't work, it's that we haven't found the real issue yet. I think EFT is appropriately applicable to every known physical, emotional, or performance issue you can name.
So is there a danger in presenting it as a one-minute wonder?
I don't know if danger is the right word. It's a misconception, because a lot of people are conditioned to think we want instant results. You know, it's sort of a fast food society. You know, I want instant results for everything, and we get that with EFT. We have on many occasions, in 1 or 2 or 3 minutes, it's a very brief period of time, we have taken care of emotional issues that have been plaguing people for decades, despite the fact that they've gone through all the conventional therapy they can imagine. So, yes, we'll certainly get our one-minute wonders, and our headaches will go away very quickly, and this kind of pain and that kind of pain. That happens a lot. And while danger may not be the right word, the misperception, that is, that everything is a one-minute wonder, and that isn't true. Some things are one-minute wonders, but other things take patience, they take persistence, they take skill. They take detective work and things like that. So
there's an art to actually being good at EFT, then.
Yes, yeah, but I would expand on that some. We have 10-year-olds who will use what we call our basic recipe. That is the, you know, just the mechanics of where you tap and what you say in a standard kind of way, and 10-year-olds get results very nicely. But if you get into more sophisticated areas, that's when the skills of a very experienced EFT person can be invaluable. They can open doors that the individual client is not able to open themselves because they're simply too close to it.
If you're just starting out in EFT, is there an area that you shouldn't go into?
Well, yeah, it's a common sense area. Just you never want to go where you don't belong. You wouldn't, for example, if you're brand new at this, you know, go to a psychiatric ward and start telling people you're going to take care of psychosis, you know, and schizophrenia and things like that. I wouldn't go into hospitals and say you're going to instantly cure people's cancer and all that kind of thing. You're just going places you don't belong yet. But with experience, this technique can apply to all of those things. I don't care how severe.
My thanks there to all of our contributors today, and don't forget we'll be offering you more free audios with many insights in them about tapping, so do stay tuned for those. And if you'd like to learn more, you can go along to our website at efthub.com and you'll find a free newsletter there, and also you can download the audios that you're listening to here. So until next time, this is Gary Williams wishing you tapping success.